All right. So what's good and bad about this? Well, it certainly works. I would say that there are at least two reasons why it's not so popular as in the past. Namely, in the good old days, it used to take an awful lot of steps to do a floating point operation. I mean, a good example was this Intel 8087, which we used on the first hypercube we built at Caltech. This was the first floating point chip. I think it's the first serious microprocessor floating point chip. And so we are the Cosmic Cube, which was a 64 nodes, each of which was an 8086 and an 8087, the first really good microprocessors. It could do somewhere between a floating point operation took somewhere between between 20 and 50 microseconds, even though the clock speed was 8 megahertz. So that said that it took some 160 to 400 clock cycles to complete a single floating point operation. So that said, the 8087 took a lot, the way it was implemented, it took a lot of clock cycles to do a single floating point operation. But it only had, I don't know, 50,000, at most 50,000 transistors in it. So what's happened is that when you have today's microprocessors with, I don't know, 5 million transistors in them, you can build a far cleverer floating point. Well, I mean, far, if you have more transistors, you can do more things per clock cycle, and so you can complete your floating point operation not in 100 or 200 clock cycles, you can complete it in 4 or 5 clock cycles. And so the need to pipeline and therefore send, you see, this Cray was designed around the concept that you had to have 100 floating point operations to get good performance out of a floating point unit, because it took so many cycles to do a floating point operation. But that's no longer true. It only takes a few clock cycles to do a floating point operation, because we have more transistors. The current designer of a microprocessor has many more logic gates to use than Seymour Cray had when he designed the Cray. So these are just more sophisticated architectures. The other problem is that the Cray architecture, or the supercomputer architecture, really only worked when you were doing the same operation on each vector. You were doing A plus B. Now, if you take a sort of more complex operation, like, I don't know, doing text processing or something, you still have a lot of work you want to do, but these are not particularly long vectors. There might be a lot of characters to process, but they're not necessarily the same operation on each character. So you want a more flexible architecture, which is still pipeline, but you would like to do a different instruction at each clock cycle. So today's microprocessors are designed with a more flexible architecture to allow different operations on the, so you don't have these simple vectors with very regular identical operations, which are characteristic of scientific computation. You have a more complex structure. So that's both allowed by the greater number of transistors and needed by applications, whether they be irregular. Even in science, when we come to look at these scientific algorithms, when we do Jacobi we can think of, we can do with these long vectors, because Jacobi is very regular. But if I took an adaptive irregular mesh where everything was, where all the data structures were linked lists, you will not be able to form these nifty vectors very easily. It will take a lot, it will not be natural. So even today's scientific algorithms don't particularly perform well on vector pipelines. And certainly text processing and stuff like that doesn't. However, the Cray is actually a very good computer, getting good performance. And the reason is that Cray did get, while design, Cray is a very sophisticated design, a very mature design, and they did get the memory architecture very well. They have very good design to actually fetch to allow you to fetch lots of data from memory, to supply operands from around memory to the CPU at one or two operands per clock cycle. So the architecture of the memory system, which will have lots of different banks, each of which can be accessed simultaneously, that architecture is far cleverer than that on most workstations. And so actually a Cray will outperform and do extremely well compared to many parallel machines, even though the raw CPU looks better on a parallel on a node, just because they have a better memory architecture.
Okay.
So this foil actually comes from another foil set, A42, and this just illustrates a very simple machine pipeline with, in principle, here's each of these boxes is one clock cycle, and so here we have a pipeline where we have here case, I guess, at least for registers, the register operations, five cycles per operation, but we can still get one result every clock cycle. But we are allowed a different instruction to start each clock cycle. So that's the end of this not terribly deep review of conventional machines.